Welcome to Hallmarks the Spot, your favorite podcast in the world.
I always feel like I'm in a cabaret, a basement cabaret.
Because of the piano?
Yeah, and the bass at the end. Boom.
Yeah. Well, I can come up with a more rocking tune.
No, no. It's
not a Moroccan tune.
Just a more rocking tune.
No, I think it's mellow for...
You have a Moroccan theme on the brain because of the Great Pottery Throwdown.
Yes. So, hey. We didn't do a show last week.
Yeah, we didn't introduce ourselves either.
Okay.
Hey, this is Ellie.
And this is Jim.
And we didn't do a show last week. And I think that's okay because sometimes we don't have enough to talk about when we just talk about one movie. And we can't just do top five lists all the time. So,
well, there's stuff to do on this show because we have two reviews going.
Two reviews.
What are they? Don't Go Breaking My Heart's number one.
And One Perfect Wedding.
And One Perfect Wedding, yes.
We passed together. We got 100%.
We, yeah. And we're also going to talk about the upcoming summer movies.
Oh, so there are things to talk about. Summer, yeah. Upcoming. Is that what they're calling the ones that are in April?
I'm not sure what they're going
to. I don't know what they call those. April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah, I don't.
But, remember when I said the thing about March in like lying out like a lamb? And you're like, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And here I am with the April showers bring May flowers.
Thanks.
Did you have to do that as a kid in your school? Like, we had bulletin boards outside of every classroom, and I was a teacher's pet, of course. And so I got tasked with helping to switch out the bulletin board. It was like a full-length floor-to-ceiling.
Yeah.
Ceiling was probably only 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
But we
seemed
went
larger up, when you were,
seemed
when
taller.
Were a child. Yeah.
But we would have a theme. And so a typical theme would be in like a lion, out like a lamb, or April showers bring May flowers. So that's why it's like so ingrained in my head.
So I'm going to answer that extremely long question you just asked me by saying no. No, well, we didn't have bulletin boards outside our classrooms. And
okay, well.
It was not my job to do anything.
You weren't a teacher's pet?
No, but... I remember one of the jobs I had, like in third grade, was to clean out the gerbil cage. And me and this other dude would go down to the basement and clean out the gerbil cage, but then just hang out and start playing around. And it like took 2.5 hours to do, and then got back to class and got yelled at by the teacher for taking so long.
Oh my gosh.
Took advantage. Oh, let's have fun.
I didn't have any jobs like that.
Looking,
I was like the
looking
paper
at the
passer.
Flame and the hot water heater opening the little window and looking.
Right. Well, you know how you used to have like just individual sheets of white or yellow ruled paper, and they would hand those out. And my job in fourth grade or third grade was paper passer.
Yeah.
And I had to. Like, whenever she would say, okay, everyone, we're going to do a spelling test or whatever, we would have, like, a very thin, like, a third of a width of a piece of paper. I would be the one to hand out to the whole class their piece of paper.
So you'd have to tear them off?
No, no, no. They were cut that way. They were small.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But, like, I'm just saying, whenever she would say, okay, we're going to do an exercise now, but where I'm going to ask you some questions, please pass out yellow ruled paper or whatever. And
right.
And I would do it. That was my job.
It wasn't passer. Like on a pad that you just tore.
No, no. They were like reams of paper that were sitting in cubbies. And I would go and get the prescribed paper and hand it out to the whole class.
I see.
Yeah. I was such a teacher's pet. Ridiculous.
I was not a teacher's pet. No.
Now you know why I am the way I am. All right. So that's enough of a walk down memory lane. Do you want to talk about the movies first?
Isn't that what we're here for?
Sure.
All right. Don't Go Breaking My Heart. We'll do that one first.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Moran. Oh,
I thought it was Italia Ricci. Oh, oh, you're saying that's the synopsis.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Miranda runs a boot camp for the recently brokenhearted. She begins to form a connection with new client Ben, who is also a reporter investigating whether her boot camp is a fad or a phenomenon.
And this is where I say.
Starring.
In all the boot camps in all the world, why did he have to walk into mine?
Starring Italia Ricci as Miranda and the thinker, Ryan Pavey.
That's right.
As Ben.
Ben. Who were their... Okay, her sidekick was the woman who's been in a lot of them as sidekicks. I was just trying to remember the sidekick, which is the woman, her business partner. Because I was like, who do they talk to? And his sidekick is his sister.
What? Is it?
Yeah, because she's the one who got him into the class.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because she's all...
Because she had a breakup and she needs his support.
Yeah.
But really, he needs help, too.
Yes, because he had a breakup, but he's too proud and
unself-aware.
Yeah, that he thinks, I got to stop smacking this new desk. I have to, he thinks he has no issues after the breakup. So he also writes for a magazine. And he, his editor tasks him with trying to break the story of this boot camp and whether it's legit on the up and up and all of that, which isn't a very exciting story. So, go undercover at a breakup boot camp.
Well, if he could have exposed her. So actually, he's not an investigative journalist. But let's talk about the elephant in the room.
But he
that it's still like a brick and mortar magazine building where they have at least eight floors.
Yeah, things that don't exist anymore except
in Hallmark movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I doubt even the New Yorker has. Offices that are more than one floor.
I wonder. I mean, they probably have.
But there's no need for a writer to be sitting in an office.
No, not anymore. And you get, especially like if they're in cubes.
Yeah.
You can't concentrate and write in a cube where, you have to be wearing headphones the whole time. Like people just having their little inane chit chat and stuff, just way too distracting.
Right.
So, not that I remember what inane chit chat is after more than a year of working from home. So
this breakup boot camp has all kinds of things like
trust exercises
and walking in suspended things in trees and, like the sliding on cables.
Like
and
the stuff. Nature of love from last
exactly.
Spring. Yeah. Yeah. So there are a bunch of trust exercises where you have to like go out on a limb, quote unquote, to, confront your fears. And she encourages people to confront their fears.
One of the students is a morning show host for Good Morning Portland or something like that. And he talked about his breakup a little while interviewing her on the show. So he decides to go through the boot camp too.
Yeah. So he does not hit it off with Ben. They have like a little bit of a adversarial relationship, but I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. Cause
first
why.
He goes there. He doesn't think it has any value. He's going to quit, then gets the assignment. And shows up again. But even in the beginning, they kind of have adversarial, but you can tell they're a little sweet on each other.
Oh, Ben and Miranda.
Yeah, a lot of banter.
Yeah, there was a lot of banter. Yeah. But she like could give as good as she got. But I really spent the first part of this movie worried that he was going to expose her because, pretty early on, you hear her telling a class, no cyber stalking your ex. And then she cyber stalks the ex right after that class, hits like by mistake. And then
on a picture
on his Facebook page or Instagram.
Yeah.
And then her, you know, she gets caught, like her partner catches her doing it.
Yeah.
Because the guy calls and wants to talk to her and he keeps calling and she's like ignoring him because she, and that was a divorce. So yeah, she was married. Keeps
pushing them off and stuff like that. Yeah,
but he keeps on staying with it and you find out that he's sticking with it because he's getting married again.
Yeah.
And he wants like the closure. He feels like, okay, we could talk and it's time for me to tell you I'm getting married.
Yeah, and he thinks, oh, she's not over me.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So
yeah, so he wants to, you know, make sure he lets her down easy.
Just like just like on Seinfeld, so he would have hand.
Yes, exactly. Except also she really wasn't over, she was over him or whatever, but she wasn't over the relationship.
Right.
That it was, you know, still percolating there, like she mm-hmm. hadn't really done the work on herself. So I felt like he was going to expose her for not doing the work of her own course.
Yeah.
And I also felt like there were aspects of her course that were relying on therapy because she had a PhD, right? She was a psychologist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was either I think they said she was a PhD, but she could have been a PsyD. So she doesn't have someone, like all psychologists have their own psychologist.
Right.
So she should have her own psychologist.
Yeah,
to talk to. Could have made sure that she was like doing the work so that she could then do the work with other people.
Yeah.
But instead she gets the thinker. She gets Ben and he, you know, once he jumps back in the class, he is always trying to like hit on her or whatever. Yeah. But he's also trying to get to know her and also helping her work through things. So she ends up writing her letter because mm-hmm. she had never written her letter to like burn or send to the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the exercises at the end is that you write a letter to your ex and then you decide whether to send it or burn it.
Right. So it was interesting. Yeah. So.
And then there's this older woman who's in the class because it's her second time around.
Longtime Hallmark viewers will recognize her as the woman who plays Mrs. Claus in Once Upon a Holiday.
Oh, wow. And the other subplot is she's trying to hire another instructor because the business is starting to take off. And she was trying to convince her partner that she should be teaching classes, and a partner doesn't feel doesn't have enough confidence to
imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But thank goodness for the partner because she was the one who helped her to do the work, a lot of that work.
Right.
So it was the two of them. It was Ryan. It was Ben.
She was speaking truth.
Yeah, she spoke a lot of truth to her. That's true. And in the meantime, the sister got over her ex.
Yeah.
And Ben got over the original ex.
Right.
The one who got away that he never, you know, got over.
Yeah. Well, as Ben goes through it, he starts to see that it has value.
Yep.
And maybe he was a little hasty in his preconceived notions.
Maybe.
Right. So his editor keeps bugging him saying, hey, we need, if you write a good story, it's another one of those where his promotion hinges on on a story.
That's right.
If you write a good story, then I can pitch for you to be an editor with the people upstairs.
Yeah, the higher ups on
the higher ups.
Eighth floor.
Right. And it's like, what I didn't get is, what does his writing this story have to do with his editing skills, being an editor? It's like two different skill sets.
Yeah. Unless his ability to see a good story, you know, if you're an editor, you have to decide what stories are going to go forward, maybe.
Right. But a lot of editors aren't writers.
No. Well, a lot of them are just, and editing is definitely a skill separate from writing.
Exactly. There are writers who cannot be editors. That's what I'm saying is.
I agree with you completely.
His writing the story isn't going to.
Right. I'm saying the only skill set that I could see that would overlap. But in general, I completely agree. I 99% agree with you. That the only skill that I could see is to have that new sense of this is a good story. So if you're consistently pitching good stories and delivering, then that's a skill you want an editor to have.
Right.
But then the other aspects of being an editor, depending on what kind of editor, right, managing editor or whatever, those are all completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, so yeah, it hinges on his promotion. Yeah. Number one. And then the number two trope is them, the misunderstanding comes because he wrote a first draft that was terrible.
Right.
He was all over the place.
And his editor says it's a terrible first draft.
And doing it's all
what,
over the place.
Doing what editors do.
Yeah. And so somehow, Miranda finds that.
Yeah, because the editor says it doesn't sound like you.
Right.
It doesn't. You haven't picked a.
He hasn't picked a side. He was on the fence when he wrote it. He was starting to see the value, but he still felt like it was a fad or whatever.
Right. And he felt like the editor was pushing him to do an expose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So he turned in this article that was trying to have it both ways. And the editor's like, no way. But she finds that version that still has the elements of him trying to poke some holes in it.
Yeah.
And she gets super upset, as you would.
Yeah.
Except you see the red all over that thing. You know it's not the final draft.
Yeah, I know. If she actually
even says, like,
read the edit.
You know, pick a side. Sounds like you like this or whatever, you know. So the other most unbelievable section part
is
two things.
Okay.
One is him tracking her down to the climbing gym and then pretending like he's a climber. So he knows that she's a climber and he goes there. He's like, I come here all the time. And then finally in the end, she's like, your first time, right?
Yeah. Like there was no reason why he couldn't admit that he's never done it before.
That's right. He could have said, I've been wanting to try it out and you were talking about it and here I am. Like,
yeah.
And it was a product placement for Noom.
Oh, please. They sat right under a Noom, big orange Noom banner.
Yeah. And the second thing, which I'm not going to falter for too much, but like the guy is clearly paying her as part of a breakup boot camp.
Yeah.
And she crosses the line with him. He totally could have outed her in his piece if he really was.
Right. Because she starts.
She kisses him.
Yeah, kisses him. She gets sweet on him a little and then kisses him.
Yeah.
Even though she said, you're a client.
You're a client. Yeah. So that's like almost as bad as dating your boss or probably worse. I don't know which one's worse.
Because these are supposed to be emotionally emotionally
vulnerable.
Vulnerable. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. And she shouldn't be taking advantage of that.
Right. And so the whole time I was living in fear. He was going to expose her. This is, you know, of course he wouldn't because it's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
And that's kind of mean. But I'm just saying, if this were the real world and she didn't know he was a reporter and he started making the moves and she reciprocated and yet he paid her hundreds of dollars, I'm assuming, for a breakup boot camp.
Right.
But that's an issue. That's a big old issue. Is there anything else to talk about?
No, he turns in the article.
Oh, yeah. And it's glowing.
Yeah, it's a glowing article. And his editor says, you know, you got to write the truth. You know,
that's right.
You didn't criticize this boot camp.
Right.
But, you know, that happens.
Right.
And I wouldn't be a good magazine editor if I told you to write something
that wasn't true. However,
yeah.
Did you figure out where they got the pictures for the article? Because no one was ever there taking photos.
That's right. There were a lot of pictures of them together. So it couldn't have been him taking the pictures.
That's right. And one of them seemed a little compromising for her in terms of like how close they were. Because it was wasn't a bungee jump or whatever. Maybe it was on when they were doing the tightrope walking.
Yeah.
Or did they do a thing where they rappelled? No. I'm trying to think what some of the other activities were, but there was one where they were like very close and it looked like they could have almost been kissing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just it had to be the one where they're getting ready to do the cable walk
zip, or whatever.
Zip line thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought, I was like,
Yeah.
Maybe that's when they thought, well, we could entrap her.
Yeah.
Like we could expose that she's ultra unprofessional. This works both ways.
So that happens. The assistant
realizes
that she would make a good instructor.
That's right.
And his sister passes the class. And everyone decides to burn their letter except the older woman who said she burned the last one, but this one she was going to send.
Yeah. She seemed to have, you know, gone. She really, you know, matured. I don't know what to say. She had breakthroughs.
And she finally gets together and talks to her ex. And her ex says, you know, I'm getting married, so don't take it too hard. And she goes, you know, I'm kind of fine with it.
Yeah, this was her husband of 30 years, yeah, so that's a lot.
And this guy is surprised. And he says, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No, people really mature. What's the right word? Grow. They really grow in this.
Yeah.
You could see really the progression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Miranda gets over her ex-husband. That woman gets over her ex. People really do. Unlike having somebody who's stuck. Because even the Good Morning Portland guy had a breakthrough. And then it ends on an interview with her and Ben. Miranda and Ben. With the wake up Portland. And it wasn't the male host now telling the female host that she had to take the boot camp because there was like some other unfinished business. Because in the first one, she outed him.
Yeah.
Like maybe some host should go because his relationship with Tiffany just broke up or whatever.
When she did that in the beginning, I thought it was their relationship. They had a relationship.
Did I. Yeah.
And it turns out that wasn't the case.
But then by the time this whole thing played out, she had broken up with her boyfriend. And so I think he did the same thing for her. So that was kind of cute.
Yeah. So, all right.
Time to
rate it.
Rate it.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
2.8. It's ridiculous.
2.8 is pretty high. That's almost 3.
2.5. I'll give it a 2.5.
I was gonna.
I didn't think it was terrible.
Even with the tropes, because we're so used to them, and it wasn't like a terrible trope.
Right, and the conflict wasn't that bad, and
they had decent rapport. I wouldn't call it chemistry.
Right, and it wasn't like a half-heard conversation that gets her upset. You know, that kind of trope. It was legit.
But she does do the, like, I can't talk to you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's legit, though. If you thought this guy was writing some hack piece to ruin your reputation.
Right.
You'd be upset, too.
Yeah, this is her livelihood. And,
yeah.
You know, her and her business partner.
So I can understand when she found out, you know, a lot of times when these people find out, oh, I saw this thing and now I'm very upset, when you would in real life wouldn't really be that upset about it.
Right.
In this one, I can understand what, you know, she would be upset. Okay. Right. I'll buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say 2.5 too, but I thought I was being too generous again.
No, It wasn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, I just have a pretty pleasant, innocuous feeling from it.
Yeah. It's like, if I never see it again, fine. But why is my computer going to sleep?
It may not be fully plugged in. Is it is it charging?
Yeah, it's charged all the way.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Keep or delete.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see it on, if it's on like Sunday afternoon in a couple months or whatever, okay.
Maybe you'll watch it.
Yeah.
But it's not something I go out of my way to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So,
yeah.
So, 2.5 delete.
2.5 delete. We're on the same page.
All right.
So, next up. One Perfect Wedding.
One Perfect Wedding.
Third installment of what I predict will be at least 4.
That's right. There has to be another one. We'll discuss that soon.
That's right.
The first two were One Winter Weekend.
That's right.
And then One Winter Proposal.
That's right.
Why didn't they call this One Winter Wedding?
Because it's not happening in winter.
Oh, yeah, it was.
No, but not in the winter, not in Winterfest.
Oh, it's not a Winterfest movie. That's right. It's a spring fling that takes place in the snow.
Well, all I could think of was how when I lived in SoCal, you would get an email in April that said, hey, come snow.
Yeah.
You know, come ski.
Yeah. In Lake Tahoe, you can.
Right. Yeah. Ski, come ski. And they show people wearing April. Like t-shirts.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be like that. Like have it be an end of the season.
No, like, they had like a blizzard.
No, they have. They have like 14 inches of fresh powder coming in. And yeah, I think they just missed their production schedule.
Yeah, I think a lot of these movies, hence the upcoming St. Patrick's Day movie that they're putting on nowhere near St. Patrick's Day.
Maybe they're trying to broaden our horizons. Yeah. Ireland's not just for St. Patrick's Day.
But then why is it? Stop it with why your is stereotypes. There luck? Why is there luck in the title there?
Because everybody knows it's the luck of the Irish.
Luck of the Irish.
Which we have terrible Irish accents.
But that wasn't a good Irish accent. Begorra.
Erin go brah.
Erin go brah. Oh, me lucky charms.
Okay, so want to read the synopsis?
Sure.
Answer the question? Did we pose a question or were we just talking?
With her book tour in 2 weeks and his expanding business plans, Kara and Ben put their long engagement behind them and booked the chalet for a small wedding with friends and family. Starring Taylor Cole, Jack Turner, Rukia Bernard, and Deshaun Williams, who appears strictly
on Zoom. So the backstory is that, what are their names again? Something and Sean?
Kara.
Kara and Sean.
Kara and Ben.
Kara and Ben. Another Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
Kara and Ben.
And their friends.
And their friends.
Respectively had booked the chalet and they double booked it and they begrudgingly shared it on One Winter Weekend.
That's right.
And then the next
because they were double booked into the one chalet.
And she's a mystery writer. So
Jack and Sean. And Kara and Megan.
I'm not going to remember. I should bring something to write on, like little post-its just with their names. And I'll just make little post-its of names. And then when it's like the same name. Right? They probably have all the same. Like, Ben is multiple Bens.
Yeah.
Just get a Ben posted over here and put it in front of me when it's okay. No. It's all right. So Kara and...
You can call him Taylor Cole. And
Taylor and...
Jack Turner plays Ben.
No. It's not going to work. No, Rukia.
Okay, Kara and Ben.
Yes.
And Megan and Sean.
Right. So I was talking about Kara and Megan were up there for a weekend.
Right.
And Sean and Ben were up there for a weekend. And Ben is the CEO of a snowboarding
He was originally the CEO of the Cyan. Wasn't it Cyan?
Oh, yeah, wasn't it?
Didn't Not he sell Charmed? It? Or is it Charmed?
I don't know.
And Cyan was the board that came out?
I don't know.
Something like that.
And she totally helped him, Taylor Cole's character, helped him land a big investor.
Right.
That was the first one, right? Because she was using the board and maybe that was the second one, that one winter proposal. Because by then she had a board of his and she had the helmet and she was like basically selling it to.
Yeah. What was she? Was she a writer then?
Yeah. Yeah. Because her whole thing was that the woman who lost her path or whatever.
Yeah.
She came up with that when she was there.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't rewatched them. Yeah, so I just wanted to give people a little bit of the backstory.
She's a semi-successful author. She's had two...
She is successful. Yeah. She's going on a European book signing tour. That's right. They don't send people overseas. Okay,
so she's got two best-selling books, yet her editor wants her to pitch the third one, I need to pitch now, and I need to know everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't.
Right. And Rukia Barnard works in a magazine. And I remember in the previous one, she was like the pushover.
Yeah.
She was working super hard. She couldn't leave work behind. Mm-hmm. She's not really changed because now she just threw herself into like preparing the wedding.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Dr. Sean.
Yes.
Got an out of town gig.
Yeah.
So he.
Before he was like the slope doctor, right? Yeah. He was like in the medical hut.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't the slope doctor. He was the doctor.
He was the doctor in Seattle.
Yeah.
They're all from Seattle. And he was, and it turned out, oh, that's right. Taylor Cole and Jack, whatever, their characters went to the same like coffee place in Seattle.
Right.
Wasn't that them?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other ones, he was a doctor in Seattle, but somehow he ended up like treating one of them when they like broke their wrist snowboarding.
Yeah.
Right. That was Rukia. So anyway, they all have history.
Yeah.
In the first one, they shared the chalet begrudgingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought there were sparks between both couples. Then when they come back for the one winter proposal, it turns out that the workaholic magazine chick and the doctor have not kept up. So they rekindle something while they're planning the proposal.
Right.
For, Kara and.
And they wind up kissing toward the end of that one.
That's right.
Right.
And so now here we are. They're getting married. The.
Kara and Ben.
Kara and Ben. And that guy took out of the country gig. He's like in Africa or Europe or South America, some other continent. And because there's no way, there's not even a conversation that he would come back for the wedding.
Right.
But he's like the virtual best man. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Ben asks his sister, who's also an intern at his company, very successful company, to be his best woman.
And she says, because Sean's not there.
Because Sean's not there. And of course, the maid of honor is the Rukia's character.
Right.
And she DIYs the crap out of that wedding.
Right. So the wedding, what happens is they decide, because she's going on a book tour, he's going to open up a new factory.
Right. And he's going to be gone in China or something for two months.
2 months. So they said, we should get married. Let's get married to the justice of the peace. Let's stop putting it off.
Right.
And when they start, when they're walking to the Justice of the Peace.
The dad calls,
which makes Kara change her mind. I don't want to have a wedding.
What am I supposed to tell him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without my father there, blah, 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 blah. They decide, fine, we're not going to get married. So Ben secretly books the chalet.
That's right. And then she's going to secretly book the chalet and it's not available.
Right.
But then loose lips at the
Yes, that's right.
Everything hinges on his loose lips.
That's right. The desk manager, whatever he is, he seems to be the only hotel employee.
And he can't keep it secret. He's like, yeah, it's a big snowboarding exec and a mystery writer.
Yeah.
And she's like, is it?
Yeah, they're
all set.
It's a they're gonna get married up there.
It's and a surprise. Like,
yeah. So he blows the surprise. She goes to Megan. She says, "Can you plan the wedding in 2 weeks?" She said,
"Yes.
Just watch me."
Yeah, that's right.
Just and watch me. They
got
go.
Glue gun will travel. Yeah,
they go and they buy wedding dresses real quick.
That's right.
And they tell them, of course, the colors are two different colors. One's white.
Moonflower and moonstone.
Yeah, one's white, one's purple.
Right.
And
guess which one would be moonstone?
That would be the lighter color, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Obviously, this poor little sister,
who's the
best woman, messes up the whole order.
So they're getting changed in the dressing room, and they tell the sister, okay,
here's the aria in yeah. moonstone.
Yeah.
And the whatever in moonflower.
Flower, and she mixes them up.
In the 10 seconds it takes her to get to the desk, she totally mixes that up.
Right. So the wedding dress, the white dress, is going to
be purple.
And we know it's coming because she mixes it up. So later you're going to find it out.
Right. I've never seen such a bridal shop that was so big that just let brides order their $2,000 or whatever bridal gown on their own.
Yeah, there was no salesperson helping her.
Had been, because they showed her in a dress where she had the clips on the back.
Yeah.
So who puts the clips on the back? Not the maid of honor.
Right.
The person who works at the place.
So but
yeah, they should not get a
commission. So they get a rush job to get it altered, and it's going to be delivered up to the chalet.
But this is ridiculous, too, because they never do alterations on a different dress.
Right.
So she would have known that the dress was purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of holes in this part. Obviously, I gave that a lot of thought.
Yeah. So the father comes. They all go up there.
To the chalet.
Awesome. Meanwhile, there's people walking around with clipboards.
That's right.
Yeah, and the desk manager is being a little cagey.
But he eventually spills.
Yeah. Well, it turns out Ben, his company, has sponsors a
Camp Snow. Yeah.
Camp Snow for underprivileged children to go up to the mountains and ski and snowboard.
Yep.
And he's a little leery of this company that's around there holding clipboards. And he finds out they're going to buy the chalet, the resort. And that means it would end Camp Snow.
Clara Lake.
Yeah. Clara Lake, I think it was.
It is Clara Lake. What's her name? Carla. What's her name?
Kara.
It's very close to Clara.
Right.
I didn't really pick up on that.
So there's a subplot with the history of the resort.
And the love story of the initial owners.
Right.
And Taylor Cole's character has a very active imagination. She makes up a lot of stuff about this couple.
But she's going to base her book pitch on
this whole thing.
On this story.
Right. But the two intersect. That's right. There's a reason why I'm talking about it. So his company is looking to diversify their investments. He wants to protect Camp Snow.
Right.
He can buy 45% of the company from, I forget what, and that other resort wants to buy 45%.
No, the other company already owns 45%.
So it all hinges on this last 10%.
Right.
That is some shell corporation.
Yeah, owns it, and they don't know who that.
They don't know who that is, but that there is mail that comes to the chalet or Clara Lake Resort.
Yeah.
To that company.
Right.
So dead ends, whatever. The whole time, right? Ben is.
But the storyline is these two. They were in love.
Oh, of the older people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this resort. He owned the resort, but there were no pictures after a certain
1948.
Yeah, there's no pictures after 1948, and Taylor Cole assumes they broke up.
Right, because there's one no pictures of them together after 1948. Even though they met before the war, they were separated by the war. They came back. No pictures after 1948. There's just a picture of the guy looking out over the valley.
Right,
and then they find this letter later on.
In which Taylor Cole says, oh, he looks so solitary. He's all alone there. And then then you, Ellie's watching. She goes, someone had to take that picture.
That's right. I don't know why they're assuming he's alone.
Because
he's alone in a photograph.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so his name was Max. And the name of the shell corporation was like Aldera Creek or something. And the white, I forget the wife's name. It doesn't matter. But then there was this framed note that the only hotel employee was also curating this historical exhibit about the resort. Hotel.
Yeah.
And so he finds this letter that's like, you know, you'll love again and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's my dear, it's to my darling, whatever her name was. And then it said love M.
Right.
And so the glass was dirty. You find out later the glass was dirty. So 1948 was actually 1978.
Right.
And it was actually the mother writing to the daughter. And she puts together this history writer once she's clued in. Right. Because finally she had a make or break kind of a meeting with her fiance and was like, what are you up to? I've seen you like having these furtive conversations and something's going on. You got to stop. You know, she's all like got it in her mind. He keeps secrets.
Yeah.
So she said, you've got to tell me what's going on. And he said, I want to buy the resort. Like, I'm going to buy 45%, but I'm not going to buy the 45% unless I can make sure I can get that final 10%.
Right.
And the 10% is owned by this Aldera Creek. Well, she's at the desk and the bellhop with the loose lips is like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, I was looking for your fiance. I found this piece of mail, but never mind. And so she takes a picture and the piece of mail was from like J&D Music.
Right.
You know, I had like a G clef. And so, you know, it's a music thing. And somehow she's amazing. Her powers of observation are like way beyond anything I could ever know. She had met with the
piano player,
pianist who was going to play during the wedding or the meet and greet or whatever. And she remembered that her songbook was from J&D.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, oh, I figured it out. You're the daughter, aren't you? She's like, yeah, I'm the daughter. And she goes, why didn't you tell me that my story was all wrong? And she goes, your story was better than the truth.
Yeah. So she says she's not selling her 10% to the resort people.
That's right.
Company. Because she doesn't want them to change the resort. And Ben convinces her. He said, listen, I want to buy it because I want to keep it as is. And I want Camp Snow to go on.
Right.
So she agrees to sell to Ben.
Yep.
Resort is saved.
But let's talk about the wedding drama now.
Okay. Wedding drama. Blizzard.
Wrong dresses.
Yeah. Wrong dresses.
Blizzard. Well, also the thwarted proposal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the proposal.
There were so many. This was like, if they had really played up the comedy.
Yeah.
It could have been like one of those sitcom situations where like everything goes wrong and it's hilarious.
Yeah. So Sean wants to propose to Megan over Zoom.
Right. And so, and then of course he doesn't know that, well, Ben doesn't know that two boxes are coming. And so from the jeweler.
Right.
And so they work it out. She, you know, Kara pulls Megan away from her DIYing
of the wedding.
Of the wedding, and also causing her to miss the messages from Zoe. They don't really pay attention to Zoe because she's so young or something, right? So
also, we keep screwing everything up.
I know, but then don't you think they would keep a closer eye on her? Instead of being like, oh, yeah, no, I'll get that later. What could it be? It couldn't be anything important. We're just planning a wedding in the span of like 10 days. Yeah. And it's happening tomorrow. But she convinces her to stop, have a drink. They go downstairs so that Sean can propose. And then...
When they open up the jewelry box.
And it's cufflinks. It's
cufflinks for Ben.
and loose lip guy had said, oh, I'm expecting, you know, oh, he said a couple boxes were coming or whatever. And they're like, they don't believe him either. Just like, no, you're wrong. There's only one coming.
Yeah. So the proposal gets thwarted.
But they did a good cover up.
Yeah. So the dresses come. They're the wrong colors. But luckily, the father brought the mother, Kara's mother's wedding dress.
Yeah, because she was supposed to sew a piece of that dress into her own dress
for the something old, I guess.
When she had started cutting into it, thank goodness it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to cut off the whole, like, bodice or whatever.
So she says, oh, I'll just wear that.
That's right. Because who doesn't want, like, a circa 1980 wedding dress to wear or whatever?
So even though the snowstorm, they whip up a cake really fast, and then I guess they have...
they have bratwurst and bratwurst fondue. Instead of Chateaubriand and shrimp or whatever.
But they have the wedding. It goes off...
Without a hitch.
Without a hitch.
Except that, of course, Megan can't... She doesn't have a dress, so... They don't even let her walk in first like a normal maid of honor. They have her walk behind and she's wearing a pantsuit.
So.
And she does not match the other. Her dress wouldn't have matched the sister's dress anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are a lot of holes in that whole dress thing.
So toss the bouquet. Megan catches it. And then like a day later.
The next day.
Yeah. Next day, that's what a day later means, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying. On their one-day honeymoon. This isn't suspicious at all.
They go up to the top of the mountain, and she drags Megan along, even though Megan's saying, it's your honeymoon. Why are you dragging me along?
That's right. Oh, but we got to go, you know, this weekend is for everyone I love.
So up there, then
Megan's mom.
Yeah, Megan's mom's up there. The ring showed up. Sean proposes over Zoom, and Megan stands there watching Sean over Zoom, holding her hand out for the ring, like for like 5 minutes.
That's right. And meanwhile, Kara gets down on one knee and she's like, just pretend I'm Sean.
Yeah.
No. Was so creepy. Like she puts the iPad in front of Kara's face.
And then, all I gotta say, it was a healthy rock.
It was a healthy rock. You could see that thing for miles.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, thank goodness they didn't drop it in the snow because there was a lot of powder up there. That's not like finding diamonds in the snow, Snowbride style.
Yeah. So like you said, there's got to be another one because Sean and Megan have to get married.
That's right.
And then the
baby sister, maybe she'll meet somebody at Sean and Megan's wedding.
So it'll be like one wedding.
Maybe by then it'll be one winter.
Yeah, one perfect winter wedding again. Mark two.
Yep.
So
exactly.
The end.
The end. That was something else.
Also, Ben lost his hair. Between the last movie and this movie.
Yeah, he shaves his head now.
Yeah.
And Taylor Cole's still Taylor Cole.
And now that I know he has a British accent.
Yeah, His accent, American accent's terrible.
Yeah. I listen to it and I'm going, yeah. I can hear it. It's he loses it in several sentences. He loses it.
Yep. But then I also have to say, he just tells her in this one that he was a kid in Camp Snow, right?
Yeah.
Like, that guy keeps secrets just to keep secrets.
I know. There's no reason. There's nothing embarrassing about it. There's nothing secretive about it.
They've been together for 2 years.
Yeah, he never mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because the Camp Snow was a new development. There was never a Camp Snow. No,
there was a Camp Snow before. Was there?
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember them saying anything about Camp Snow. I thought
there was, because he was donating the boards.
That's right. He was donating boards to Camp Snow. Yeah. That's right.
They did talk about that. Yeah.
But you pointed out that Kara never wore her invention.
That's right. The helmet with the ponytail.
With the hole in it for your ponytail. She never wore it.
That's right. Not this time around.
Yeah.
And they brought everything from their apartments to this chalet, I'll tell you. So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Rating time.
Can you go first again?
You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Two.
I'll agree with that, too.
Not that we're trying to be agreeable.
I thought the first one was the best of the three.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh, the one winter proposal was so annoying.
Yeah, one winter proposal was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one is just,
it was just okay, but it wasn't like, there was nothing charming about it.
No, and people were just acting in weird ways that no normal human would act.
Yeah. And that woman, like the Megan character, to take on so many DIY projects.
Yeah.
And had trouble delegating and finally did delegate.
You would think that someone at this resort would be good enough to do some of these tasks.
Right. Well, and then, like we were saying, like,
don't they have a concierge or someone who can do some of this stuff?
Well, you would think so. But then when they had the blizzard on the morning of the wedding and the road was closed from Seattle and they had to make do with the brats and stuff. I said, never in a million years. They showed Megan talking to Kara and they showed the sister talking to Ben and they were pitching it at the same time, which was fine. But never in a million years, even though seeing the husband and the bride is bad luck on the day of the wedding, before the wedding, you would at least have them on speakerphone. They pitched their plan to these two people separately, and it's their wedding. That was so weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if some of these things are weird because of the COVID controls, maybe, or... Yeah. You know, I'm trying to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt for like kind of the weirdness of it. But yeah, when they were like, well, we can't get the wedding cake and they just happen to have three different two different size cakes. And, you know, they made do, which was great. I'm all for it. Like, you don't have to have the fancy wedding. You could still have a good time. Like,
yeah.
So I'm totally not like upset. And they still had all the amazing like name place card holders and the special fancy like chandelier was decorated with all the greens and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's still something about like her dress was just not attractive.
No, the one she was buying didn't look that great.
So I have a lot of things. It wasn't terrible. Again, like if it's on, we probably watch it. But I agree with Jim. The first one is definitely the best. Definitely the best. And then I would definitely delete it.
Right. Delete.
Delete. I mean, it doesn't hold a candle to like Winter in Vail or any of the other Winterfest, quote unquote. Yeah.
Plus, the guy has no charisma.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of rapport.
Yeah, no chemistry
or even rapport.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Summer of Love.
Summer of Love. I can't wait. Tell me who.
Hallmark Channel will premiere 6 original movies.
There better be another Cindy Busby.
Including 4 for its annual Summer Nights lineup.
Ooh, Summer Nights. One of my favorites.
Okay, so a few weeks before Summer Nights kicks off, Hallmark Channel will premiere 2 romantic films. I guess it's like another in-between season film.
Well, the April one, right?
No, it says May and June.
Yeah, but it says before it kicks off, it'll premiere 2.
2 romantic films in May.
Oh, sorry. I missed the May part. I'm sorry.
I've said May 3 times already.
Say it again.
2 romantic films in May, starting with a reunion between Lacey Chabert and Tyler Hines, who both starred in 2020's Winter in Vail, for an untitled movie to air May 15th.
I'm so excited, though, because they have chemistry and they are good with the banter.
Where they play former high school sweethearts. The film is currently in production.
Okay.
The following weekend, Cindy Busby travels to Australia for the international romance Hearts Down Under.
And who's the guy?
It doesn't say.
Oh, I thought it was our boy.
Who?
The man. The prettiest man.
Chris Russell?
Christopher Russell.
It doesn't say.
Oh.
I'd assume it'd be an Australian dude.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you think she really goes to Australia? This is her payoff.
Yeah.
This is her South Africa.
Yeah. This is her location movie.
Yeah.
Reward their favorite actresses.
Well, and they're going to Australia because there's almost no
COVID down there. Right. Then Summer Nights begins June 5th for 4 straight Saturdays of original movie. I'm reading this from Entertainment Tonight.
Okay. Entertainment Tonight website.
And starring When Calls the Hearts, Pascal Hutton, and Kevin Smith's Island. What?
They're always together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're married in real life.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was the bridal boot camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Called You Had Me at Aloha, set in Hawaii.
Oh, so they sent them to Hawaii, you think?
And then Eloise Mumford and Brant Daugherty. Eloise Mumford is that one you just saw in A Veteran's Christmas?
The blonde?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The one
with the dog?
Who missed the dog?
Yeah,
that one.
Okay.
I'm not sure who the dude is. Star in the baking, what?
I was looking
There's no it. Picture of him.
Oh, I was looking to see.
I'd show you a picture if there was one.
Right.
Eloise Mumford, I knew because it's an unusual name, press Mumford and Sons.
Yeah. Right.
So I looked her up.
Okay.
Like I said, I looked the dude up too, didn't recognize him.
Got it.
In the baking themed summer romance, Baker's Son.
Wow.
While on the 12th date of Christmases, Mallory Jansen returns to the Hallmark family and Josh Sass makes his network debut in the Parisian wedding themed Her Pen Pal. Oh, they're all over the place.
Wow.
Then Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, One Tree Hill.
Ali Machalka. Not sure who she is. Close out Summer Nights on June 26th with an adaptation of Nancy Nagel's novel, Sand Dollar Cove.
Oh, wow.
And
that's exciting.
Then there's a whole bunch of movies and mysteries stuff. Crossword mysteries and Riddle Me Dead.
With the guy from the South African one.
Yeah.
And from Picture Perfect Christmas.
And a bunch of those. So
I'm looking forward to that. Cool.
All right. Well,
anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. What? You don't want to remind people to
leave a reviews at Apple Podcast.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate any reviews and ratings there.
That's right.
We got one. This one, I'm going to call give someone a shout out.
I haven't read it yet, so I don't know.
Jay Rodenston.
Oops. Whoa. Oh, hold on.
Oh, we got puppies.
We got puppies. Puppies, they got barking. Something to say. It's okay, Tony.
Okay. Calm down, puppies.
We're so close.
We're almost over. Jay Rodenston.
Jay Rodenston.
It's all together. So I think it may be initial and then a name.
Right.
But whatever. You know who you are.
Jay Rod.
Jay Rod, yes. All right, Jay Rod.
Jay Rod.
Ellie and Jim are fun and funny. I didn't know there were podcasts on Hallmark movies. This one is interesting and funny and doesn't fawn over the movies. An entertaining listen.
Aw, thanks, wow. Jay Rod.
Yeah, thank you.
Very cool.
Yes.
Our first
quote-unquote
fan.
Yeah.
And I know we had a 5-star review. Did we have more than one?
Oh, we had ratings, but this is the first review.
Well, thank you. That's very cool. Somebody's out there listening.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I know we get downloads, but, you know, I download a lot of podcasts and don't listen. So I'm gratified to know somebody actually listens.
We've had 4 ratings so far.
Oh.
And they've all been 5-star rating.
Thank you. Thank you, yes. Friends. That's what
we appreciate that. It helps out on the old
search engine
when you leave ratings and reviews at Apple Podcast.
Cool. Well, thanks, everyone.
You can find us at damshow.co, damshow.co, the home of Damn Junior Podcasting.
That's right.
Where you can find our other fine show, Destroy All Movies. That's long-running podcast.
Yep. And if you want to send us an email, you can send it to marksthespotmail@gmail.com.
That's right. marksthespotmail@gmail.com. And we'll read your email.
That's right. We'll read it on air.
That's right. If you want to become super famous.
If you want a nickname like J-Rod.
Yeah, like J-Rod. Send us an email.
Enjoy the April showers that bring me flowers.
I'm gonna have to set up a board outside the room for you, so you could.
I could decorate it.
You could decorate it.
Well, I did decorate for Easter.
Yes, you did.
That's my new thing this year. Is I'm decorating to as we enter the second year of staying at home.
Yeah,
I've been decorating more often with the seasons. So, or the holidays. So I'll have to come up with something for April. Oh, well, this is April.
Yes.
Something for May.
Okay.
Yeah.
So until next time.
That's right. Take care and have a great week.